It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
As I continue to push my AL South narrative, that the AOS is just simply the AFC South during the Bill O'Brien era. The Astros turned Lawrence Butler Jr. to T.Y. Hilton yesterday. Like, you know what? I'm going to throw out one of your guys to start the game, hit a triple in my first to bat, nearly go for the cycle, and dominate the baseball game. I mean, if my agenda is going to thrive, I do need myself a T.Y. Hilton. And at least last night, Lawrence Butler Jr. was that. They turned him into the best player in baseball for a night. That's got to be a great feeling. You're among the throngs of like 500 people watching you play in Oakland. You're out there balling. You stop a run from scoring, and then your next at bat, you set the tone. It wasn't a great night for anyone who has Alex Bregman's athleticism as something they want to push. The Jordan hit some people thought he could have scored on. Gary Pettis did not send the runner. And then, you know, Alex Bregman has that kind of stiff running style where his arms are out to his side and they're like, Lawrence Butler Jr. is like, excuse me, are you running on me? I advise you not to run on me anymore. So he throws him out. And that was kind of the ball game. I mean, the Astros were, and then the Astros got within 2-1 because the A's scored two runs in the bottom of the first. The Astros hit a home run. I think it was Caratini hit the home run. But after that, it was more of the same of what we've seen really the last three games, where they were pretty much non-competitive the rest of the way. So they still remain in first place thanks to the Mariners being terrible. But the Rangers, I guess we haven't really considered the Rangers maybe due for a hot streak. All it'll take is about a week, and they would be in first place the way things are going. Like, the Rangers have been bad all year. They're only three games back. It wasn't the thing we were considering, because it was nice to laugh at the Rangers. Does it feel good to laugh now? Looking to your left, immediate left or right at the Mariners probably isn't the best thing to do. If we're thinking about a team who might hawk you down, it's that team that's three games back who resides in Arlington. They won again last night. So the AOS looks like it's going to come down to three teams, and maybe what happens at the deadline may determine the race. Astros are just mid, man. I mean, it's just giving guys at bats who you don't think should even be on the team. You're waiting for Tucker to come back. Espada gave an update. It wasn't encouraging. Astro fans, after hearing or at least reading the tweet from Chandler Rome about what Joe Espada said about Kyle Tucker, we're like, wait a minute. Maybe you guys shouldn't have told us it was a bone bruise. Because bone bruise just sounds like, oh, I've got a bruise, I'll be back. Bone bruise actually means something very, very different. But on its face, it's just like, all right, man, you'll be back pretty soon, right? Nah, he's still not in a position where they can even really give you a timetable. The thought is, well, actually, I won't even say that. He's doing things that are showing progress, but he's not to a point where they can even really consider him a viable option in the next couple of days. And they need the pop. Maybe that pop will come from the trade deadline. Let me ask you this, Sean. Will the Astros trade for a hitter, and will that hitter make his Astros debut before Kyle Tucker's back?
If they do trade for a hitter, he will make his debut.
Yeah, when the deadline's the 31st?
Yeah.
You think, even if it's deadline day?
I don't think that Kyle Tucker's coming back in
before
10 days.
Feels like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It certainly seems like that. So, Isaac Paredes, come on down. You'll be making your Astros debut before Kyle Tucker takes another competitive swing for the team. Man, Caratini's back. He had a long-term injury. I still remember that slide. when he slid into home, he made a face that was like, ooh, this isn't going to go well for me. He was right. He was out, and then he was out for an extended amount of time. We're still waiting on Verlander. And the Astros, I guess the hope, if we're still maintaining hope of a big push to get to the ALCS, Sean is on the record saying this team is making the ALCS. It's rough to believe that when you watch them in Oakland.
Thankfully, they don't have to play the A's. If they make the playoffs, they're definitely
okay. Okay, so there's the caveat. If they actually get to the postseason, they'll make the ALCS because that's what they do. Now, I can't blame Sean for his prediction if they don't even make the postseason.
No, you can't blame me for that.
Although
that'd be ridiculous.
Although I could blame you for making the prediction in the first place if they don't make the postseason.
There's the idea of, like, in a playoff series, like,
you believe in
I'm going to take these guys.
Yeah, you believe in them. I get it.
On a Tuesday night in Oakland, I don't believe in these guys.
Not at all. Not when Jake Blas is pitching. And it's, like, he wasn't good, obviously, but they scored 2 runs.
Yeah, no, both games these series. It's
2 runs in 18 innings.
It's Arrighetti and Blas weren't good, but come on, guys.
You guys weren't even making a challenge for the A's. It put no game pressure. I believe in game pressure. Mostly that's the thing about in football where if you allow a team to be up 14-0, they can play free and easy. You put some pressure on them, you see how they respond. I believe in that in baseball. I know it's more individual as far as the at-bats, but if a pitcher's out there or even the hitter's out there and they're pressing because the game is close, it could change the tide of the game. But if they're just free-willing out there because there's no real game pressure, you get what you get last night. Or the A's who have played much better recently, and in fact, over the last 18 games or so, they've been better than the Astros. It does help that they just beat you 2 in a row. They were out there having a great time. All the hand signals, that's got to be the worst thing. When the A's, everybody has a hand signal when they do something, whether it's the Tampa guys with the fight. Was that a Tampa player who did the Trump fight thing? Every baseball player has one of those. There's something going on when you do something. You're looking to your dugout and they're signaling it back to you. But when the A's do it, it's an insult to injury. You guys suck. You shouldn't be able to do that to my team, except when they're bashing your brains in. Then they're allowed to do whatever they want. And Lawrence Butler Jr. yesterday. All right, man.
T.Y. Hilton of baseball.
I didn't know. I wasn't familiar with your game, mostly because you play for the A's. Yeah. But I did not know you had that in you, and the Astros brought that. He's had a good series. He was good the night before. He was good last night and dominated that game. Really set the tone. So
they should hit him with this pitch.
Well, they didn't allow him to get to the cycle. They walked him. I mean, good. the eight A's fans who are still there were very upset. I was rewatching some of the highlights, and when he walked in his final bat, there was like one A's fan. There's like nobody around him, but there's one A's fan going, "Hey, what are you doing? What's up with that?" He was the only one in the shot.
I'd be so upset.
But he was upset.
If I was the only person at an A's game and I had a chance to see the cycle, and it's just like, nope.
Didn't even get to take the bat off the shoulders because the Astros walked them on an inside. Ball was way off the plate. So Lawrence Butler Jr. didn't get the opportunity. Fine. He did everything else he wanted to. Hey. He doesn't have to get everything last night.
Yeah. I still just, hey.
Like, what's going on? That's pretty much what he did. The guy raised his arms and hey.
Because normally it's like, what kind of call was that? That wasn't a strike. In this case, he was like, what's up?
Call it a strike so he gets another chance to see a pitch. Maybe we subscribe to this, that the Astros, no juice going to Oakland. But they understand. No one's going to show up to the game. Just go out there and beat them. I know. Coming off the Seattle series, that was a big series, competitive. People were paying attention. It's a come down to go to Oakland. Well, now you've lost 3 in a row. But you do get back to the best part of your rotation going forward. Look, there's a chance. You only gave up 4 runs in the game with Arrighetti on the mound. So there's a chance to, or Arrighetti. Arrighetti. I always go back and forth. There's a chance to win that game. He wasn't spectacular, but you give up 4 runs. You got a shot to win. Last night, you really had no shot. And it started early when you couldn't push a run across. When Bregman got thrown out. So they go down, lose another one, still lead the AOS, tied in percentage with the with the Mariners, but the Mariners have played two more games. The Astros are up on them. Is that an alphabetical thing, or is there any real thing behind it? Because I know the Mariners have the tiebreaker, so it's got to be the fact that they played a couple more games, even though they're equal in as far as everything else.
Yes.
Right? It's got to be
an
alphabetical thing that they have the Astros
or
on top.
I think it's the team that's played
less. Team who's played less games.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's about. The Astros still have two games at hand. So obviously a chance to win two, but certainly a chance to lose two as well the way they're playing. But right now they're up up because they've played two less games on the Mariners and only three games ahead of the Rangers. So that object in the mirror may have been terrible all year long, but they're right there.
It's what the Astros did. to the Mariners.
Yeah, last year. Yeah.
No, this year.
Oh, yeah, this year. This year and last year.
This year. What they did 3 weeks ago against the Mariners.
It's very true.
They had a good 10 days, and all of a sudden they're tied in the division again.
Yeah. We're in a three-team race.
And no one's that good.
And no one's very good, yeah.
So if you have a good week, you're charging.
Yeah, the next team to rip off five in a row, maybe five, well, not the Rangers right now, but like you could rip off a 7 out of 9 or 7 out of 10, and you would have a 2 to 3 game lead depending. And if you're the Astros or the Mariners, it could be 5 the way the other team is playing. So just be aware, you don't want any of the teams going on a hot streak because the other team clearly isn't capable of matching it right now. It's apparently now the Rangers' turn to rip some games off. And if they do, we could be talking about three teams tied at the top of the division, the division very shortly with the Astros, getting through now the soft part of their schedule with the A's, and eventually the schedule will get tougher, and we'll see how they handle it. So not a great night of baseball unless you're an A's fan. Not that there are going to be many here in town, but if you were watching the game, I credit you, because staying up that late when it's not your job, and then you have to get up and go to work and go, oh, great, cool, I watched my team get beat by the A's 8-2. Truly devoted. So if anything comes up as far as news with the Astros, we know trades are in the offing. We'll let you know throughout the rest of the show. The Texans are wrapping up, if they haven't already wrapped up their practice today. There will be some sound from them today, and also will be some sound we'll play from some of the participants yesterday. Titus Howard was asked about his O-line partner, Kenyon Green. Also, the praise for Kamari Lassiter has been maybe a little surprising, considering we thought, hey, why are you taking a nickel corner? He's playing on the outside. Jalen Petrie's now playing nickel. But the praise of Kamari Lassiter has been a welcome surprise, the fact that he's already getting first-team reps. We'll hear from him about the acclimation to the NFL and who's a leader on that defense and how going against that top wide receiver corps helped them, and also D'Amico Ryans on how they're managing the health of their team. So we'll get into some Texan stuff when we come back. But first, well, am I right or you wrong? Which one? Am I right or are you right about that one? I thought I saw my bookie in the log this morning, but maybe I'm wrong.
I was just going to move it because I didn't think you were going to look at the rundown.
I thought I saw my bookie in the log early.
All right, you want to do my bookie?
Sure, let's do my bookie now. Neither one of us is wrong. Just a miscommunication. No blame being placed. But if you want to bet on whether Sean or I were wrong, you can't do that at my bookie. You can't.
Maybe one day.
But you can bet on a lot of other things at my bookie, because whether it be Olympic soccer, that's going on right now. The Olympics have started, although the opening ceremony hasn't happened. If you had thoughts on Morocco winning, you should have gone to my bookie because you would have won some money. They upset Argentina early on in the Olympic tournament. MyBookie.ag is a website. So whether it's sports betting and you think the Astros are going to avoid the sweep tonight with Hunter Brown, you can do that. Or if you're into the live casino, they provide that for you as well. Maybe you just want to play cards at home. You want to take your laptop to work on your break, or hell, maybe you don't have a lot to do at work, so you want to use your laptop during work hours. I don't advise that, but MyBookie allows it because they let you bet on anything, anywhere, anytime. So that really means anywhere, whether you have the mobile app or you have the laptop or you just do it from home. So you get the live betting, you get the sports betting, they have the experts, and let's not forget about the promo code. Bet975 is what you use when you want to sign up, or if you're an existing customer, it makes your money go further. So bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to some Texan sound here in this segment, but Dana Brown, you know, he does his weekly hits. The Texans, the Astros targets this year, according to Dana Brown, as they head into the trade deadline, they're going to look for an either third or fourth type of starter. A one and two type is probably off the board for them, but a guy who can slide into that third or fourth spot in the rotation is something they're looking for, and also bullpen help. So they're going to attack their pitching on a couple fronts. They need another arm in the bullpen, and they like to get themselves an established third or fourth starter type.
I feel like every team is like, yeah, we're looking for a bullpen arm.
Yeah, it's a postseason. You're looking for someone you can throw in a high leverage situation.
Yeah. And just like, yeah, so we don't overtax our high leverage guys.
It's yes, just, that too.
Everyone just a bullpen arm. Yeah, maybe a guy.
Yeah, I don't know if he's looking for, yeah, to your point, I don't know if he's looking for a guy who can go get them outs in big situations in the postseason. Maybe just an arm that can get them outs where they don't have to throw, hey, Presley, we're going to need you in the sixth here because we're in a real spot.
Because, yeah, right now it's Hader, Presley, Abreu, and Martinez. Taylor Scott.
Yeah, those are your guys you're going to lean on when it matters
most. Maybe some Seth Martinez action.
Sure, so you would like another guy, and mostly that's about, hey, is there a way I can say I don't want Montero pitching without saying it? This is how I'm going to say it. We need another arm because it's rude for me to actually mention his name.
Just like how before where they needed another first baseman.
Yeah. Yes, without mentioning the guy who would normally be in that spot. So they would like a third or fourth starter type, which is reasonable. I don't think they have what it takes, or they're willing to give up what it takes to go get themselves a one or a two. And, you know, keep hope alive that you would think they believe that they're going to get their number one back. Now that number one hasn't been around for a while. He's older. There's this neck thing we don't really understand that's keeping him out for a while, but I think they would say, we get him back, we get Verlander back, we have good Fromber and Blanco. That's a great top three. And we have Hunter Brown. So if we're talking about a top four, that would probably compete with most of the playoff contenders if those guys are on their game. So they just want someone at least that can help them get to the finish line of the postseason as opposed to rolling out a Jake Bloss or an Arrigetti type. Also, as far as injuries are concerned, in his interview on the rights holder, Verlander's up to 47 pitches, not sore or feeling pain afterwards. Tucker's starting light baseball activity, as I talked about a little bit in the first segment. He's fighting through soreness and swelling. His rehab is much slower than anticipated. Yeah, no kidding.
That's tough. That the 41-year-old man is throwing how many pitches?
47.
Throwing 47 pitches and no swelling, no soreness, and some light baseball activity fighting the soreness and swelling.
A setback for Kyle.
Fighting it.
I don't want to hear he's had a setback.
It's not a setback.
It's not. He's just fighting.
It's just, and it's slower than we expected, yes. But not a setback. There's been no setback.
Thankfully.
It's just slow.
It's not what we thought it was going to be, but no setbacks. That's where we're at with Kyle Tucker. So as Sean talked about, don't expect him back before the trade deadline, it looks like, if that report's going to be something that's consistent going forward over the next week or so. Hope for a bat and hope for Kyle Tucker to make an appearance in August at some point. And we got a historian giving us bad news, at least someone, I call him that, just someone who tweeted the show, but he mentioned that Todd Hollingsworth fouled a ball off his shin and missed the entire year. He fouled it off his shin in the month of May and missed the entire year. I'm not looking for that for Kyle Tucker.
No.
I'm not looking for that from
Kyle
him.
Kyle Tucker's built different. Well, he'll only be out for 2 months.
Prove it. Is he built different? We don't know that yet. You think he is. I don't know that.
Yeah. Maybe he'll only be out for 2 months.
Yeah. I'm sure he's in a lot of pain. It's not even a question of it being serious or not. It's just crazy that that's what it is. Like, you know, we see guys foul something off their leg a lot, and it's painful. They hop around. They may get pulled out of the game. No one was expecting this.
The Astros didn't initially put him on the IL.
No, yeah, they thought he was going to come back.
They didn't put him on the IL.
They get caught doing this a lot, though. But he was just one of many who they do that to. Oh, yeah, well, a couple days, we're still figuring it out.
In 2 months.
Yeah, it turns out it was at least a 2 month injury. And he's not in a position where he doesn't have soreness after a light workout. What's a light workout in baseball? Jogging, right? Throwing the ball a little bit around, a little
maybe,
jogging,
maybe
light
some
jogging.
Resistance band action.
Yeah, something like that. And the shin is still in a bad place. So there it is. Dana Brown today giving us an update. Not so encouraging on Kyle Tucker. He didn't say that Verlander is immediately going to be back, but at least that one suggests as long as he's not sore and that continues, the Verlander reappearance in the rotation could be in the offing. I don't know. We probably don't see Verlander until... Okay, I asked you about pitching or hitting. Would we get a new hitter before Kyle Tucker's back? Now, does Verlander make two starts before Kyle Tucker's back? Because I think, or do you think Kyle Tucker still makes it back before Verlander?
I don't know. That's tough. Because I don't know why I'm thinking about that hard. There's no, there's nothing to go off.
Nothing
of.
Nothing happens to you if you're wrong.
Yeah. Oh, and there's nothing. One guy pitched isn't sore.
Just make
one
a guess.
Guy did light baseball and is sore.
Yeah, considering how the Astros pitching luck has gone.
Yeah.
He could be sore, sore tomorrow.
I'm figuring he's going to need probably one more bullpen.
Is he going to get a rehab start?
A rehab start and then maybe a second rehab start?
Is he in a pennant chase, he's going to get multiple rehab starts?
I don't know.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I don't know. It's just...
No, probably one, right?
Yes. I agree. At minimum, he's going to pitch in Sugarland, whatever is available. Sugarland maybe goes to Corbis, likely Sugarland for a start. And you hope that goes well.
I'm just like trying to map it out. We're talking about like mid-August.
Before Verlander's back. Do you think Kyle Tucker's back before mid-August then? If that's the earliest, and we're being positive about Verlander, mid-August he's back. Is Kyle Tucker back before then?
Probably not. I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't bet on it. Maybe he is, but I wouldn't bet. The hard part is that like the comeback for Verlander or the rehab for Verlander just takes longer because you have to pitch and then not pitch for 3 days.
And make sure you respond well and then pitch again. Yeah.
So the rollout is just slower where if Kyle Tucker just wakes up and isn't sore,
he's in.
He can play. He can do a rehab, three rehab starts, and then boom, back up with the major leagues. So the rehab process is very quicker.
And considering the position they're in, he may not even go down the sugar. You would think he might, but
just to see some live
swing a
pitching.
Bat, live pitching. Yeah, I could see. I don't even think he would get 3 games if he's good after one.
Yeah,
they may bring him right back.
Might just be one,
considering they need him the way their bats are going. So yeah, the Verlander rollout is like the Deadpool Wolverine rollout. It's a long, arduous process. We're getting reveals. The Verlander trailer. We got like four. We're gonna get like three of them, and then eventually we're gonna see
Verlander. Verlander's out there.
Well, Kate Upton's in Sugarland watching him pitch. We've seen him there a couple times. We've never seen her in Sugarland watching him pitch. She's like, I'm not making that trip.
Yeah, what are you kidding me?
What are you talking about? I don't think she's ever been there for one of his starts during his rehab stuff. So
if I ever get a chance to ask Kate Upton a question, it will be, have you ever been to Sugarland?
Yes, not driving around.
No.
In that ballpark.
Have you ever been to Sugarland?
Oh, the city overall. You don't even think.
Have you ever stopped a car and gotten out in Sugarland?
It's not Jasper. Why are you treating it like
no,
someone
for her,
rolling through
Jasper? For her, it is. For her, she's like, what am I going to do
here? I'm going to tell you right now, I've been to both.
There's way closer Chipotles.
Yeah, no one's going there for a Chipotle. She would go there for one reason.
Sugarland Space Cowboys?
Well, Justin Verlander on the Sugarland Space Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I don't think she's ever visited.
I think we would have seen a picture if she was sitting
I don't
if she was sitting in the stands for for rehab start.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I thought you meant like if she was ever in Sugarland.
No.
Like, I don't think it would be Instagram worthy. No offense to Sugarland. No, I don't think it would be Kate Upton or Instagram worthy.
I don't think she's taking a picture in front of that sugar factory that's right near the ballpark. I don't think she's doing that, no. Doesn't have the same appeal.
Do you think she's been to Corpus Christi?
I think we would know if, well, she might have been someplace but not visible. I don't know if they have a suite there.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a suite where it's like you can't be seen.
True. And someone would have found a picture. Someone would have taken a picture.
Ballparks aren't that big.
Very true. We've been there. I would say no. I don't think she went to Corpus for one of his rehab starts. No chance. In fact, I'm saying no chance.
Do you think Justin Verlander's ever like, yeah, you know, gonna do a rehab start in Corpus Christi? It's right off the beach, you know? I don't know if the stadium's right off the beach.
I don't think selling right off the beach in Corpus is going to work for the supermodel.
Okay.
I think she's seen quite enough beaches.
That's really what I'm asking. Do you think Justin Verlander tries to sell Kate Upton to come to these places? Or is he just like, hey, I'm not going to be here for 2 days?
I think he explains where he's going to be and why he's going to be there. There's no appeal to come with him. He understands.
Hey, it's a work trip, you know?
Trust me. He gets it. You want to hang out someplace? Cool. I'll go there. I'll come back.
Hang out with all the 22-year-olds in Corpus Christi.
Yeah, Kate, would you like to hang out with Pedro Leon's girlfriend in Sugarland?
Will Wagner's girlfriend's going to be
there? Yeah, when Loperfido was down there? Hey, I don't think so. I think I think that baseball wife has a different category of who's from Jose Altuve's wife to Loperfido's girl. Don't think she's doing that. She's used to a certain standard. A World Series standard.
Yeah. A World Series professional base, like high level professional baseball player.
I would love for an Upton jersey to show up at the Space Cowboys. Like she just throws on a Space Cowboys jersey, puts Upton on the back, and is all in.
They'd print it for her.
Yeah, I bet you they would. They would sell those things. She would get in. She would get in on it. She'd get a piece. But they would definitely sell Upton Space Cowboy jerseys. By the way, Space Cowboys, if you come up with that idea, you actually make that work. Remember where you got it from.
Yeah, send us a jersey.
Yeah, at least we were going to get to the Texans, but you know, haven of nonsense and all that. We'll get to that. The Texans sound and also the future rankings for the Texans, because we just don't do the 2024 power rankings. We also have to do, at this time of the year, we rank the futures of all 32 teams in the NFL. I'll tell you where the Texans rank and how they compare to some of the current powers, and maybe their future might be brighter than others. We'll talk about that along with Texan Sound. We'll hear from the guys out at training camp when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back. Texans are in a good position. They don't have to pay their quarterback right now. We know what that is doing. And really isn't doing very much. But what it's doing to Jets, Packers training camp. Jordan Love in the building but not practicing. Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Dolphins, told the media that he expects Tua to be out there but not to participate in 11-on-11 until he gets his deal. So quarterbacks take different routes to let the organization know, hey, pay me now. I'm going to be slightly disruptive. Some guys will be on the field and not work. Others will not be on the field at all. And we know what happens when you don't pay wide receivers. Some of those guys don't show up. Although Brandon Ayuk, we talked about this, Sean. Brandon Ayuk, what leverage did he have despite asking for a trade? Not much. He's at training camp. I don't know if he's going to practice all that hard, but he'll be there. So the 49ers always held the cards there. Hey, you don't want to come in. We're going to tell you we're not going to trade you. And if you don't come in, we'll just fine you until you decide you want to come in. So Brandon Ayuk, despite the trade request in 49ers camp, we'll see if he gets his money, which I think the 49ers want to do. They may just not be at a number that Ayuk wants. So Texans don't have those issues. They gave Nico his money. The other guys who are prominent members of the team either have their money or not in a position right now to ask for a deal. CJ among them. So ESPN has rankings for this year and three and two more years in the future for all of the NFL. So they rank not only the present but the future. Some of the things they're using to create these rankings are your quarterback situation and the makeup of the roster beyond the quarterback, front office, and coaching staff. If you could guess, should be pretty easy for you, Sean. You know the game. Think about the best teams in football, because that's generally how this is going to be measured. And they use these guidelines. 100, you're an elite franchise for now and in the future. That's an A+. It's just graded like you would grade a paper, pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
So, who do you have as the number one team as far as their present and their future right now?
This is easy. Kansas City Chiefs.
With a sterling score of 95.3. The Chiefs.
Give me Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, always.
I don't even care.
Take Patrick Mahomes.
I don't care about if they have another young player. Give me Patrick Mahomes.
They mentioned other guys beyond him, like Chris Jones, who got money, who has his money, Marquise Brown they brought in. They mentioned your guy, Xavier Worthy. And
great touchdown in training.
Yeah, I did see that. Mahomes rolling to his left, threw a bomb.
Can't believe the league let that happen.
Or at least the Chiefs in practice. Oh, what are you saying? Oh, you can't believe they let Xavier Worthy get to Kansas City?
On that team.
A lot of people have said that, actually.
That's what a lot of people said. And I was like, hey, guys, still just a training camp highlight.
He's a really skinny, really fast wide receiver in training camp. Relax.
I'm more along the lines of what you're thinking. How'd the KC defense allow this to happen?
You see the little skinny guy running past you? Hey, Brian Cook. Look, you see him?
Might want to give him some cushion off the line.
Yeah, like, you understand Pat Mahomes, you know. He buys time.
Yeah.
And your guys aren't going to hit him. Don't let the fast guy run by you. Don't look so lost. So that happened. Reasons for concern. Talked about Travis Kelce and his age at 35 years old. They don't have much behind him at tight end. And obviously, they have a rookie in Xavier Worthy and Marquise Brown. Couple small wide receivers. And his main target is getting older. And we saw Travis Kelce, whatever you want to say, the Taylor Swift effect or you know, monitoring his output as he tried to ramp up for the regular season. Wasn't the same guy. He became a monster in the postseason because that's what he is.
Yeah.
He's a great player. Some things to know. Their offensive line, really great. They credit Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. And even Wanya Morris, they like quite a bit as well.
No mention of in concerns, no mention of Rashee Rice?
No.
I feel like you should at least be concerned.
He was not brought up by Lewis Riddick. Lewis Riddick handled the reasons for concern. He didn't bring up... He was one of the guys they used as an evaluator.
I'm a little concerned about probably their number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
Missing eight games.
That's a little concerning. So Riddick, Dan Graziano, and Aaron Schatz, who was a Football Outsiders, I think, at one point, is now handling this for ESPN. The Ravens are at 2, 91.6, so they get an A. The Bills are at 3 with just under an A. And actually, they rounded up 99.5 as far as their current team and their future team.
They did some extra credit, got an A.
Mm-hmm. Showed up early a couple times, stayed late a couple times. Dalton Kincaid, I'm sure, did some extra work to get that A. So Josh Allen, Dalton Kincaid, and James Cook are the reasons for hope. Stephon Diggs and questions about Keon Coleman and can he be an actual big-time wide receiver are reasons for concern. And, you know, Khalil Shakir is a guy they think you should look at as well.
I like how the top three is just, hey, they have an awesome quarterback whose age starts with the number 2.
Yeah, it's not exactly surprising how these rankings are going.
Kind of what they're doing.
The two-time MVP, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
hey, you want to do a little work? Make this a little interesting?
All you do is like, well, they have a young running back and a young tight end, and then, I'm sure the Ravens, they have Zay Flowers. We feel good about that. It's just they just have a young one young skill position guy and one of the best quarterbacks in the league who's under 30. Boom. Young core. Feel good about your young core.
This one differs from the previous ones.
Ooh.
Can you guess which team would be the next team ranked? I say this one differs from the criteria, they seem to be following.
Is it the Lions?
Dead on. They rank the quarterbacks as well. Jared Goff gets a 12. He's ranked 12. The quarterback room is a 12. An 81, just barely a B. The rest of the roster is a 92. And the reasons for hope, you know, Penei Sewell, young core that they just paid and locked up. You know, Aiden Hutchinson's on defense. But reason for concern is their corners. They're not exactly sure. how strong that defensive secondary will be, and really the defense overall. They gave up points despite investing in their defensive line with Hutchinson. And Terrion Arnold's a rookie. Carlton Davis is a player they just paid. So we'll see. And the Texans are sixth. They rank behind the Eagles at an 88.5. The Texans ranked with their quarterback at five. They have CJ as the fifth best quarterback. Their roster is a five as well. The front office gets a 10. The front office gets the lowest ranking of all. They rank coaching, quarterback, overall roster. The Texans ranking bringing them down a little bit.
Wow.
Nick Caserio. Despite all that drafting he's doing, number 10.
Despite the fact he's the guy who picked all these
players? Yeah, whatever. Whatever. Okay. I know that seems not to make a lot of sense, but this is what they're saying.
I mean, because there's literally, he picked all the guys. Other than, I don't know, does Laremy Tunsil come up? He didn't pick him.
He didn't trade for him either.
He didn't trade him. But and Tytus Howard. So the offensive line, he has no part in the offensive line.
But he took all the tackles. In reinvigorating the roster,
everyone else that you mentioned, he acquired
Stroud, Tank, Nico,
Diggs,
yeah, all the guys, Danielle Hunter, all that is him. Will That's Andrew why Hunt. You have them as a fifth ranked roster, but still number 10. The 49ers are behind them, and their front office is ranked 16th,
ooh,
despite having the best roster minus the quarterback. Still, front office John number Lynch, 16th overall. Bum. Kyle Shanahan doing all the work, apparently, yeah. not John Lynch. So, yeah, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. How can they have the 16th best front office with the best roster?
Yeah, are there a bunch of top five front offices that have terrible rosters? Because I have a note if that's the case.
Excuse me. How can that be the case?
Some notes for good old Lou Riddick.
Yeah, I'm trying to find one. Like Lou Riddick's not the only one. Maybe it's a Dan Graziano joint.
Lou Riddick's going to have to wear this. He's the leader.
Okay, sure. I'm trying to find one, but not really. The front office, there are some front offices that are ranked higher than certainly than their overall ranking, but not one that's like standing out where, wow, how can you be a top front office and have a terrible roster?
Because there's someone, I mean, the Niners were, what, fifth or sixth, and they had the 16th. So at some point, there does have to be a team that's like 12th that has the fourth front office.
Oh, that's happened. I'm just trying to find someone where it's like, hey, we got the 23rd best roster, but the fourth ranked front office.
Top 10 front office with a terrible team.
Not seeing that. So you can go find that. It's behind their insider paywall. Your Texans, once again, people think highly of them, and they are ranked in the top 10. That's kind of been their ranking throughout. But this one kind of projects what they can be in the future. Basically, it's about young talent, good coaching, and not having to deal with big contracts for that young talent for the foreseeable future. It's going to pop up, but hell, Tank, Will, and Stroud, Will Anderson and Stroud, we're all rookies. So it's going to be a little bit before you have to deal with that. So another place where everyone thinks highly of the Texans. We'll hear from the actual Texans when we come back. We went long here. So we'll do that. We also know who one of the flag bearers will be. Not LeBron. Someone from the West Coast, though. I'm trying to think. It's a great rebrand for this guy. We'll get to talk about him. There was a time where no one would touch him. You know, the weed, the rap, the alleged incident where he was accused of killing someone. All history for this gentleman. He'll be leading our athletes out, at least being one of the guys holding the torch. We'll talk about that at some point today. But we're way late. We'll come back with Texan Sound in a couple of minutes.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really? Okay.
So, Texans training camp is going on. And they have to go through everyone at this point. It's a long training camp, so a lot of players are going to get the opportunity to speak in front of, well, behind the podium and in front of that little background with all the Texans logos on it. So, the guy who was part of the press conferences yesterday was Kamari Lassiter. He's a rookie. He is someone who, at this point, they expect to contribute quite a bit. They went out and signed. Is cast off the right word? washout feels aggressive. Journeyman, there it is. They went out, even though they're pretty young. They went out and signed journeyman cornerbacks in C.J. Henderson. And
they took gambles on the other two corners that they signed.
They have all the physical traits. That's what I've been told. Jeremy, not Jeremy. I'm thinking of his name. Adoka. What? Not Adoka.
Jeff Okuda.
Jeff Okuda. J. All the J's, Nigerian names
Jeremy
came.
Okuda.
The J's and Nigerian names all came together to screw me up right there. Jeff Okuda was the guy they took, or at least paid. He was the one who got more money than C.J. Henderson. But both guys haven't lived up to their draft status. Kamari Laster is a guy who may make one of those guys kind of expendable. He has been a guy who's gotten snaps at the outside corner spot. And he gave an answer about why he played in the Georgia bowl game. A lot of Florida State players opted out after they weren't invited to the playoff. Georgia players did as well. Enough stayed to kick Florida State's ass in one of the biggest blowouts in bowl history. Georgia's about that life, whether they're beating up on TCU or beating up on Florida State. They like to blow out teams. But Kamari Laster explained, despite being a guy who was going to go on the second day of the draft, he explained why he opted in to play and his reasoning behind it.
You got a viral clip of Kirby Smart praising you for deciding to play in the bowl game. A lot of guys in your position, they opt out. What went into that decision? Is that kind of what D'Amico and Casario like about you when they talk about he just likes to play football?
Yeah, I mean, I eat, sleep, and breathe football. Football has been the love of my life since I was 3 years old. So, I mean, I had an opportunity to play in the game with my teammates, and I was fully healthy. So, I mean, they're in my brain, it was a no-brainer. Like, it's football. Why would I not play? So, you know, other guys chose to make other decisions. You know, that's neither here nor there. You know, I respect the decision regardless because, you know, everyone has to make a decision for themselves and their family and, you know, their betterhood. But, you know, my decision was to go out there and play football.
Making every old school football person all warm and fuzzy in their special parts. That was an answer that was like, ooh, I feel great about that. That's an answer. That's a football answer right there.
And he respects their decision.
Yeah.
He drops an actual respect their decision.
He also gave them grace, his teammates grace. Hey, he may not have did it on purpose, but the line of I was fully healthy, it gives his teammates some cover. You know, the guys complaining about an ankle here or a calf here. Hey, I was fully healthy, so I played. Those guys may not have been, so they didn't play. Perfect answer. I don't know who gave him media training or if he's even had it. But I see you, Kamari Laster.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
That was a good one.
That's the kind of guy I want. I want on my team.
That's right. So you one of those football people feeling all warm and fuzzy.
I am feeling all warm and fuzzy. He's going to play football.
Why wouldn't I?
I expect him to play all four preseason games.
Three, right? Oh, yeah. You're right. They got four. Hall of Fame game.
The biggest stage in the preseason.
If he is someone who's competing for that outside corner opposite Derek Stingley, I gotta imagine if he wins that job, he's not playing in game four. You don't play your starting corner in game four.
If he's fully healthy, I don't see why not.
D'Amico's like, I appreciate the sentiment, but we'd have different rules here.
Yeah.
D'Amico's like, I love what you did at Georgia, but we got different rules here. We're gonna go, you know what? The practices against the other teams in midweek, more important than the game. Don't you worry. You can sit. We've seen all we need to see. He's gonna learn.
And that's why they won't win their last preseason game 56-0. That's why.
Because Kamari Laster opted out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Possibly.
Well, because D'Amico Ryans is forcing him to opt out.
Do you think if they win a Super Bowl, cool. But if they lose their last game, you think he's got this culture shock of, wait a minute, final game of the year? We ain't winning by 6 touchdowns? What the hell is this? What's going on here?
What? It's not even Alabama on the other side of this. Yeah. I get when we lose to them.
Yeah. So Kamari Laster making waves, man. The answers are great. He had a couple other things to say about sharpening his skills against Nico Tank and Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs. Great answer for the football people. He's all in. If you want a great football answer and get everyone excited about a player, go to Kamari Laster. He is. I don't know if he'll be a quote machine because at some point he may not be in a position to answer questions if he doesn't win the job. At least through a couple days of training camp, probably given the best quotes. We'll wrap up this segment hearing from Titus Howard. Titus Howard is a right tackle only. He's let that be known. But, you know, he also finds himself answering questions about a guy there are a lot of questions about, Kenyon Green. Kenyon Green is maybe someone, if he plays well, will solidify Nick Cassero, maybe move him up that ranking we just talked about, because that's another first-round pick that would hit. He's got Stingley when he's on the field and healthy. Great pick. The two from last year, great picks. Kenyon Green, he had issues. Some of the Texans were kind of, they kind of danced around talking about him. Apparently, it wasn't just physical with him. I don't know what it was, but when we heard from D'Amico, they talked about Kenyon Green going through some things. He's back. We've heard people compliment the way his body has transformed. Here's Titus Howard discussing Kenyon Green and what the other guys on that line are doing to help.
Growth, man. Maturity. Kenyon's matured a lot. He's put in a lot of work. His body is in the best position he's been in. His mind is in the best position he's been in. He's very confident, you know, in his ability. And he's putting it all together, man. He's been out here putting some good stuff on the field for these first couple of days of camp. And I'm excited to see him grow. Like I told him, I've been in the same position he's in right now. You just got to keep working, man. Just keep grinding, keep grinding. He's going to, you know, he's going to get better. And I feel like it's going to be a good year for him. You know, it's all the guys. It's me, LT, Shaq. You know, it's all those guys that have been playing football for a good bit of time. And, you know, we just pouring into them, because you got to think about Kenyon came into this league as a young kid. He's one of the youngest guy in his draft class. And he's younger than some of the rookies this year. So you got to take that into fact, you know, that he's still a young kid and he got a lot to grow. But, you know, he's been taking in everything we've been pouring into him. And he's, you know, been very positive about everything this year. So I'm excited to see him continue to grow. It's not going to be perfect. You know, it's not perfect for us. I mean, I'm going into year six and it's still not perfect for me. But if you can keep showing that you're putting in the work and you're doing your best you can do, you know, it's only great things going to happen.
I would say a tipping point for the offensive line, but if they can get the production they expected to get out of Kenyon, I call him Kenyon, but apparently, at least according to Titus Howard, Kenyon is the way you say that. Kenyon, if they can get the type of production out of him, and there's a quote about Shaq Mason from Titus Howard who said, y'all should be looking at Shaq as one of the best players as far as that position is concerned. If you're going to get that from him, that interior of the offensive line, that appears to be maybe the weak and the inflection point for this team on offense. If that's going to be solidified, I'm not sure what you're going to be able to do to kind of stop this offense, because I can't find a real weakness anywhere else. I mean, the man we heard from, Titus Howard, has to prove he can be a legit right tackle, but the interior being maybe a net neutral would be really good as far as what we can expect from that offense going forward. So we're done with hour one. We'll continue to hear from the Texans going forward. We have that story about the Torchbearer, one of the more effective rebrands over the last 25 years. We'll get to that as well. We'll update you on anything Astros related. And Jalen Green, topic of conversation again as far as trade talks, and maybe the Rockets are more willing to move him for the right deal. It's just one report. We'll kind of dissect that as well in hour two. We'll be back.